Thanks, Greg. Well, y'all, we'll go ahead and... I know my wife wants to keep me away from any kind of circuit breaker, and there's a good reason for that. There we go. Maybe. Okay. We might be back in business here.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how many people that it actually helps. So if you got an afternoon where you're not doing anything, go to Anderson and get plasma, because there are so many lives that are helped with that. And so many people make such good recoveries. Not everyone, but the plasma really, really is needed. So... anybody can do it.
Marlene, you bring up a good point that if you think about how many cancers deal with blood loss and blood product loss, the password is Jesus with a capital J. That it is like for all the blood that's given is separated out. Some people that have trauma, they have they need packed red blood cells. They've had a lot of trauma loss. There are people that have leukemia, or maybe they took too much too many anticoagulants, or there's something, or their spleen's messed up, and they need the platelets from it. It's all separated out, and it all goes to different things. And it's a wonderful thing if you can do it. I've given blood some, but I don't mind sticking people with needles, but I have an issue with people sticking me with them, because I'm just not a good sport about that. And so my heart rate would go up so much that they would turn me down for it. But I've been in situations where literally blood products made the difference between life and death. There have been people in the emergency room and in ICU we've had, and in the recovery room, we had machines that could literally pump a unit of blood, which is like between a pint and a quart in 4 minutes. And I've seen them where we've just literally, for 30 minutes, just putting it on as fast as it would go. Okie doke. So we getting there, y'all. There we go. We can just go down. Cool. There we go. All right. We're back in the sermon business. I'm currently taking a ministry class that's devoted to the Pentateuch. First five books of the Bible, the Greek translation. And growing up, if you think about it, these books offered a lot of our knowledge of the Bible. Noah, Adam and Eve, Moses, all of those are in the first five books. And those are some of the most appealing stories for young people. And as I've been studying, I've come to realize that spiritual resources that are available in the Old Testament, I mean, are amazing. Different time and place, but those folks deal with the same, they dealt with the same thing we do, all of the same issues. And God's been accused sometimes of having the Old Testament personality and the New Testament personality. And I think that God's the same from beginning to end, to right now. He's the same person, but I think that God inspired the writers of the Old Testament in a different that the scripture and inspiration comes from him, but the way it's described can be different. The New Testament was a different time, and those writers were different people. It would be kind of like if we all saw the same movie, and I asked us to all write it down, none of our descriptions would be the same. I was reading through the book of Exodus. That's what we've been covering this week. And this chapter that we're going to look at is probably one of my favorite chapters. There we go. And the Lord told Moses, have the people camp here, and the Pharaoh's going to think they're just wandering around. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's going to chase after y'all. But I'm going to make a believer out of him. And background to this, the Israelites have been freed from their generations-long slavery from Egypt after the 10th and final plague. The plague saw the angel of death taking every firstborn in the land of Egypt. And the Israelites, they took whatever they could, and they ran as fast as they could. Because God knew Pharaoh was going to change his mind. He also knew that Pharaoh thought he was a god himself. In the Egyptian mythology, the Pharaoh was the son of two gods, supposedly Isis and Osiris, and he himself was like a human version of the god Horus. And they had a whole group of gods that met their needs. And God was about to protect his people, keep his word, and have an epic mic drop moment while showing the most powerful man in the world at the time, who was the God. The plagues themselves were all geared towards. God didn't just choose those randomly. They all targeted specific gods in the Egyptian group of gods to show that he was more powerful than the Nile, to show that he was more powerful than this or that. Even the last plague, the Egyptian god of the dead, Anubis, he showed he was more powerful than that. And I can't imagine how the Israelites felt. They, according to biblical scholars, the Israelites had been in Egypt over 400 years at this time. Mainstream historians try to minimize or even deny that the Israelites were even there. They try to deny a lot. What they can't explain is different scrolls and tablets that have Hebrew names on them found in the middle of Egypt from the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries before Christ. They don't have a reason for that. I guess it's a typo or something like that. Tablets and tablets of Hebrew names. One tablet even had a reference to Yahweh, one of the names used for God in the Old Testament. But I guess that was a typo too. So they've tried to deny that the Exodus ever even occurred. This is not fiction. And this was not pleasant for these people. It was brutal for them. At the site of Armana, one of the cities the scholars have said the Hebrew slaves built, archaeologists found a pile of severed human hands. They've been beaten. They're excited about being free, but they probably didn't even know how to act. They've been ordered around, mistreated. They ate when they were told to eat. And they had been bullied and oppressed for generations. Most of us can sympathize with that in some way or another. Have you ever gotten out of a bad situation by God, but you don't know what to do? Someone has beat you down physically, spiritually. A drug has taken who you were. A bottle. Even a credit card, a computer screen, has oppressed you, has kept you down, made you feel utterly worthless. And then God comes in and breaks you out, but you're not sure what's next. It's very, very frightening for them. And then, here, the people that caused it, the people that have oppressed you, the people that have kept you down, realize that They're gone. Who's going to do this? What do we have? So Pharaoh said, who's going to serve us? He got his chariots ready, took his people with him, and they went after them. And don't make any mistake about it. The Egyptian army was a professional standing army. It was probably one of the most powerful armies in the world at the time. The Egyptians had had chariots for over 200 years. They had fine-tuned it. These things were fast. There were always two people in them. There was a driver and an archer. That archer, what he's holding is the Egyptian recurve bow, probably the most powerful projectile weapon in the world at the time. Skilled archer could fire 15 arrows, and he was very good at what he did. These people had military career officers. They did have some people that they drafted in, but people at this level, they were there for life. And I could only imagine if I was in that Israelite camp, what I could be feeling. And as Pharaoh got near, the people of Israel looked around and they said, became very frightened. There are no graves in Egypt, so that you have taken us out away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness? They were afraid. They'd seen the Egyptian armies all over Egypt. Propaganda started a long time ago. Every pharaoh made his mark, and there were memorials of all the battles they'd fought. And they'd fought battles all over the Middle East and Africa. They were hieroglyphs of people with one eye, people that had been decapitated. There are hieroglyphs of just piles of heads. And this is what's coming after them. They had seen that. They had seen all these people, and they felt the scars from the lashes on their back and wondered what would they do when they caught them. How many of us have been confronted by that ghost of our past, blossoming the fear in us and sowing the seeds of doubts in our mind? You can't do this. Turn around. You think you can do all this? Why are they saying that? Is it because you're not capable of making it, or because they're not capable? The negative things in our lives want to keep us right where we're at. God wants us to be what we could be. The Israelites forgot sometimes, like we do, that God has put them on that spot in the middle of that storm, not to leave us, but to fulfill his plans for us. There are those people like Pharaoh that don't want to see that happen. Their reasons are varied: jealousy, fear, insecurity, anger. The addiction may not be a person, but his motives are just as powerful. It's okay to love them, pity them, and try and help them, but don't let them control you. You do not want to give your emotions away to someone that does not want you to be the best you can be. And the relationship between the Egyptians and the Israelites, it started off as a friendship. If you remember the end of Genesis, Joseph, Hebrew, he saved the country. And the old Pharaoh he welcomed his people. But that changed. It degenerated into an abusive, one-sided relationship. Nobody's got to live like that. Like the Israelites, you're not alone. If God promises to deliver you to a better situation, he's not going to abandon you. Just don't leave him. And Moses tried to calm them down. God's going to fight for you. After 400 years of slavery and abuse, God freed these Israelites. And as they were about to make their escape, the ultimate symbol of their abuse comes after them. I could only imagine the sounds of those chariots coming after them and that army marching after them. They were filled with doubt and fear, and they're probably thinking about the awful retribution they were going to get, all the abuse that they had went through before. And we think about our own lives. Have there been times when we were given an opportunity to leave an oppressive relationship, an addiction, work, home, school, And then we had to face that person. Make that choice. Moses made a great point. God's here. Don't be afraid. And God has a way of dealing with bullies. A little faith grows some courage. And then the Lord told Moses, don't call out to me. Tell him to go forth. And I want you to lift your hands and stretch them out over the sea and divide it. And then the entire Israelite nation went across that. And most of you know I love the History Channel. Until they start trying to explain biblical miracles in natural ways. I swear. Researchers at the National Center for Atmospheric Research and the University of Colorado, they didn't have any storms to deal with today, so they went back and they made a computer graphic that offers a possible explanation for the parting of the Red Sea. How a strong wind blowing could have divided, pushed the water back for about 9 hours. And it was known as a wind setdown. So this random natural occurrence just happened to occur as a group of former slaves with their back to the wall being pursued by the most powerful standing army in the known world at the time. Just have them pop up. Who has that kind of luck? I'm not raising my hand. I think we've had like 4 tires this year that we've had to have fixed from nails being in them, so that's our luck. And all that makes perfect sense. I'm sure it just happened to happen like that. Because what are the odds on that? I don't even think they can calculate it. Those people are really book smart, but they forgot about one thing. There's God in this world. There is a God in this world. And some things were taken on faith. And that same God that delivered those Israelites from their abusive slavery, he still wanted to deliver people. All of us at one time or another have had a Red Sea. All of us. And we've had our backs to the wall. I have. Dealing with a situation you just can't live in anymore. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's an abusive relationship at home. At least I know you're trying. School, and school, especially for the kids now, it's different than it was. A bully takes on a whole new dimension. How many people here, pretty well monthly, by some 11 or 12-year-old, takes their own life because of bullying, social media? It feels like Pharaoh's coming after them, and they're hearing the waves behind them. We all have that. When you get to this moment in your life and you're feeling the water on your feet and you're seeing the dust made by the chariots, remember this moment in the Bible. Remember it. Those people at that shore thought their time would never come. They cried out for generations. And it seems like generations sometimes for us when God delivers us. Beginning of Exodus was before Moses was even born. Moses was in his 80s when he was called. God heard their cries for help. He never forgot them, and he hasn't forgotten you either. And as far as our little bullies here, they didn't give up too easy. They went out into them. And then God told Moses, stretch out your hand so the waters may come back over. And they covered those 600 chariots and all the soldiers that were with him. You've heard me say this before. We're all responsible for our own actions, our own sins. And the Egyptians in their selfish desires, they pursued these people. Pharaoh mocked God and his messenger. And it's natural to feel sympathy for the Egyptians. Loss of life, it's a bad thing. This happened, though, not because of the Israelites escaping, but because the Egyptians chose to pursue them. The Egyptians chose to try and continue that abusive relationship. They chose to try and continue that slavery. They chose to cross that line with God. Our God's a patient God. But the Egyptians made that. They are the ones responsible for their destruction. And why'd they go after them? To help them? No. They went after them to continue 400 years of abuse. There may be a Pharaoh in someone's life right now who tries to use a good heart and the nature of a person against them. And if God's leading you away from a bad situation, it's for a good reason. You can't change that person or situation any more than the Israelites could change the heart of the Egyptians. Change comes from within. We're all saved by grace, but change is by personal choice. And the Lord saved Israel on that day from the most powerful army on the earth. And the people at that time feared the Lord and they believed God and his messenger Moses. And this wouldn't be the only time God saved the Israelites from bullies. Amalekites, Midianites, Philistines, Assyrians. So many times through the years. What led up to this, the Passover, during the 10th plague, has been done in cities and little towns for millennia as a reminder of what God did. We, just as they did, doubt his power. There are times we do. We're human. We make decisions that can get us into bad situations. When that happens, remember this. Remember this example. Remember Pharaoh. He thought he was better than everyone. A god among men, he was selfish and conceited. That was his reasoning. His concern weren't for the Israelites. God heard those cries, though. He prepared the doorway for the Israelites to walk through. He proved he's more powerful than any bully and even the most powerful man on earth. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're getting ready to go to prayer, and we're going to go to song, and all altars be open. And there may be someone you know that has their feet in the water, and they're hearing those chariots in their lives. God's got them out of the situation, but now they don't know what to do, and they're scared, and they're afraid. And they're facing what it is they were trying to escape from, whether that's the temptation to go back into an addiction, whether that's the temptation to go back into an abusive relationship. Remember this. Remember that example. Because God will get you through this storm if you just let him work. Come to him earnestly. Have faith. And be prepared to do what he tells you to do, whether it's stretching out your hands and walking, whether it's running, whatever it is. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, thank you for recording this powerful example of your work in the lives of your people. Father, you're still doing miracles. Whether it is taking having a cancer patient take poison in their body and tolerate it well to kill the cancer, whether it is healing the brain of someone who's been injured. Father, whether it is helping a person to get out of a bad relationship, whether it's a person being able to overcome an addiction. Father, whatever it is, you're still there. You are still facing those powerful foes for us. You're still offering us a way. And Father, we just lift up everyone that's fighting that type of battle. Father, we want you to please part their Red Sea for them, help them to escape their Pharaoh, and then take you into their hearts. And Father, work through them to do your work to deliver that potential that they're all capable of, that we're all capable of, Father, and be with us. In our weakness, your strength is made perfect. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open.